Hear the word of God. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you and so that you may multiply greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of our ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you're away and when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gerard Frost, in his collection of poetic meditations called Seasons of a Lifetime, declares how wise it is to stock the cupboards of the mind with the things that feed the heart. And then in a meditation he entitled Memory, he gives this insight. He writes, "As I grow old, I'm more and more surprised at how much I see with my eyes closed. I never knew how rich and diverse my picture bank would be, how many meanings have become part of me. It is more and more past meeting, less and less future. Or is it a deeper present? Soon, perhaps, I'll know. Meanwhile, high drama plays behind my aging eyelids, and I'm almost never bored." Well, behind my eyelids is a picture of the first home that Diane and I purchased in Hamilton many years ago. And our home came with an old wooden shed, garage, with a dirt floor. It had an old workbench. It had cubby holes and hooks and shelves. And it was littered with identifiable and unidentifiable rusty metal bits of thingamajigs and whatchamacallits. And the first time I entered the shed was on a warm June morning when the real estate agent was showing us the scope of the property. And upon entering the dark and musty, humid area, I was immediately transported to a different space and time. I found my four-year-old self in my great-grandmother's backyard shed looking for her cat. And I thought I just might see it. And it said that smell is the sense that is most closely linked to memory. Now, in an age of information overload, memory capacity has become a precious commodity. I'm always bemoaning my limited hard drive and my scant RAM, you know, my random access memory. I watched a CBC documentary about memory, and I was intrigued to learn that memory, like a muscle, can increase its strength and capacity with exercise. And I was fascinated to learn of the import of naval songs before the advent of GPS. You know, sailors on the East Coast, for instance, they could navigate around unknown waters that were unknown to them because they had learned as children to sing the maps. The maps were sung and taught to them by those who had sailed the waters before them. My thoughts this week will turn to those that I remember and knew who navigated the turbulent years of the Second World War. My mother was 2 years old when her father went to war. She was 8 years old when he returned home. And I remember this, not because I was there, but because someone told me their story. And I know this because I sat on a sofa years ago beside a memory maker who I know as Grandpa. And Grandpa's gaze was fixed as he looked beyond the room and into another world. And he spoke to me of another world, a world I'd never seen, a world I had not known. And painfully, this world was reborn in the mind of my grandfather, and in a vivid exchange was given birth for the very first time in my young mind. And Grandpa recalled to life moments of courage and many of overwhelming fear, moments of kindness and overwhelming wrath, moments of hope, and many of overwhelming despair. And Grandpa lifted his swollen legs up onto the ottoman, and between the top of his sock and his pant leg were exposed the thin purple and red lines which marred his skin. And without saying a word about it, he continued his story. And I heard part of his story before and knew why Grandpa's legs were swollen and painful. They were the legs that once carried him while he walked beside his brother long ago. And they were the legs penetrated by shrapnel from an exploding hand grenade, the hand grenade that killed his brother. And those painful wounds were constant reminders of something even more painful, the loss of a brother. And I remember my grandmother darting around the wall from the kitchen exclaiming, "Oh, Bill, Alan doesn't need you going on about these things." You know, what I didn't understand then, that I do now, was the underlying significance behind Grandma's petition. Those 6 years were equally painful for her. I didn't know how important it was for me to hear their story, or how important it was for them to be able to tell it. Friends, storytelling is a vital component of all cultures, and something I'm afraid we've stifled and underestimated in ours. Why is remembering so important? Well, today we remember, certainly not in order that war may be glorified, but rather because only in remembering will we begin to experience healing. Truly, remembering can be an extremely painful experience, as I've come to know was the experience of my grandmother. Yet I'm also keenly aware of the healing properties it brought to my grandfather. We know that when we have been physically wounded, the experiences themselves can be quite numbing. However, we also know that our recovery and the healing of our once numbing wounds can be the most painful part of being made whole again. And so too with mental, emotional, and spiritual wounds. Friends, God has endowed us with a wonderful healing gift. And when this gift is lost, some know how tragic it can be. And the gift of which I speak is memory. And every physical sense we possess can ignite our memories and begin to cleanse our wounds. And there are multitudes of stimuli in the course of the day that indelibly connect with experiences of yesterday. And for the veteran of war, the smell of the earth while he gardens calls to life the smell he knew when their faces were pressed to the battlefield. And the touch of a cold hand in winter calls to life the hand of a friend grasped fearfully in the trench, and the sound of Vera Lynn singing the song whose words we clung to while we wondered if they would ever come home, and the taste of a pastry calling to life the table of folks from a far-off place who nourished us with food and company between missions. And the sight of children crying, mirroring the faces of those we wish we had never left behind. Now, I recognize that there are fewer and fewer in our circles who have been privy to firsthand accounts of veterans whose memories are triggered by some sensory switch. But a ready receptiveness to the story being told when it comes can be a mutual blessing, an opportunity for healing. See, memory lances the infected wounds many of us bear. And lancing is painful, but also cleansing. So why is remembering and recounting the story so important? We need to remember and share the story in order that this generation and our children and their children will never forget how important it is for us to do all we can to fight for justice and to seek for peace and to make peace and to keep peace. Friends, as people of faith, we know how important it is to recount our story. And we have visible and tangible reminders all around us, stories in the windows, names recorded on memorial plaques in the foyer of those who went before us, through brokenness and pain to ensure that we could meet freely and fearlessly today. And the cross before us reminds us of an ultimate sacrifice and a decisive battle won for the sake of a broken and pain-filled world. And that cross, that battle, that sacrifice, that victory. And the table of grace has been set before us again with poured out juice and broken bread to taste and see, to sensitize us, to know and remember the breadth of love, a love that literally remembers us, puts us back together, brings us together, to awaken within us a hardwired destiny, a foretaste of a banquet being prepared for us where tears and fear and pain and loss will only be a memory. Friends, we have to remember. We have to tell our stories, lest we forget. Let us pray. O God, you have been our help in ages past and will be our hope for years to come. And gladly we proclaim that you are Lord of our today, Lord of our now. And today we thank you for breath and reed and string and space and heartbeat and voice that together make the music which lifts us into your secure embrace. In your presence, the dirges that once lulled us are transformed into vibrant, life-giving songs. And God, we thank you for those who brought to us your saving story in Christ Jesus and shared with us his love. We appreciate the mothers and fathers of our faith who came alongside us and entered our personal stories and helped to link our journeys together with those who've gone before us. How grateful we are that in the company of our family of faith, the rough and rugged terrains and the paths of pleasant surprises are traveled together and not alone. Consecrate, we pray, the new and deepening relationships of our church family, young and old, near and extended. May the mutual blessings we share nourish and strengthen our life together and our mission and witness. God, we remember to your care today the many whose lives have been robbed of song and walk alone. For those cast out by family and nation because of storm and strife, abuse and aggression, may they find shelter from their distress in the open and caring arms of your church, this community and country. We remember to your care those who are discouraged, whose experience of suffering is defeat. May they find encouragement and comfort in the knowledge that you are present with them in every struggle of life. And we entrust to you those not free to walk or flee, whose fragile bodies imprison them and persistent fears paralyze them. O God, drive the dark away by your permeating spirit. Smash the shackles and sever the chains of those imprisoned by lust for control and possessed by the power of greed. Free them and all of us for life and hope, the life which has been ours in the past, the hope which is ours now and into the future. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.